I was praying about what does God want to share? And I want you to know that actually I'm always praying about what to share to his church. And I'm always going like, Lord, this is not my church, it's your church. And I've come to serve your church. And when I prayed about this, and I just felt like we should talk about a topic that is often pretty foundational to Christianity, but because we don't understand a lot of it, the Holy Spirit, we end up kind of staying away, interacting with that topic. And so I want to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. Is that okay? And this is a wonderful, wonderful topic. Now, how many know that we serve a Christian God? Our God, a Christian God, is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God. Okay, I grew up with an Orthodox Jewish friend, and we would if you're Orthodox Jew, you're not allowed to proselytize, but he would talk to me about his faith because he wanted me to become a Jew. And so he would talk to me about his Jewish faith, and we would have we would never argue. We would have friendly discussions. I call him a pre-Christian, you know, like he's going to receive Christ one day. I'm going to get him. But anyway, but we would have friendly discussions. And when I was getting married, he said, you know, Paul, I you know, he's like, technically, I can't go into a church. He says, not that I want to, but I could go to a mosque, but I can't go to a Christian church. And I said, why not? And he said, because you are a polytheistic religion. He said, which means you serve multiple gods. And I said, no, we don't. We serve one God. And he says, no, you serve three gods. And I said, no, we serve one God. And he said, no, you serve three gods. And I said, no, we serve one God. And he said, how so? And I said, the official position of the church is that it's a mystery, that God is infinite and that we are finite. For us to understand the totality of who God is in our finite minds is impossible. And so it doesn't mean we can't understand parts of the Trinity, but there's really no human language that could fully articulate the inner workings of the Trinity to its fullest extent. Mystery in the Christian tradition is understood as not that you would never know anything, is that the mystery of the faith is there's no end to it. So you can continue to know things, but you'll never know the totality of it. Does that make sense? Okay. I'm this is kind of heavy and I want to go quick, but Holy Spirit, help us. All right. So that's the, official position. I said, but one of the best ways that I've heard, and I think I've said it here before, is math. And he said, math? I said, that's right, math. I said, it's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. I said, it's 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. And the reality is that we have to understand that we serve a God that is 3 in 1. 3 persons, 1 God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And to serve anything less than our triune God would be not serving the Christian God. Like if I were to go to a church and the pastor came up, because I was an itinerant minister and I traveled for years preaching all over the world. I've been to 40 different countries. And if a pastor came up to me and said, Paul, hey, listen, you can talk about God the Father, you can talk about the Holy Spirit, but simmer down on Jesus. I would say, that's heresy. Because why? Jesus is God. In the same manner, if someone came up to me, if a pastor said, Paul, you can talk about God the Father and God the Son, but simmer down on the Holy Spirit, I would say that's heresy, because the Holy Spirit is God. And so I'm going to take you a little bit through seminary, not too heavy, but I want us to understand the Trinity, because if you don't understand the Trinity, you won't understand the value of the Holy Spirit. And this is a diagram of the Trinity. Has anyone seen anything like this before? You should have if you've been a Christian for a while. If not, that's okay. I'll explain it to you quickly. So this is kind of an image of how, and that helps us understand the concept of the Trinity. You have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Spirit, and they are all God. They share the same nature and essence of God, even though they're three persons. The Father, you see those where it says is not on the outer ring? It means that the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father, that they are three persons, one God. All right? Okay, so let's go to our text today. Now that we understand that the Holy Spirit is God, just like Jesus is God and the Father is God, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as the Helper. John 14, 15 through 17 says this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everyone say another helper. to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. Everyone say, in you. This is a phenomenal thing that that Jesus is saying to the disciples. He's actually letting them know that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to be with them, is going to be in them. You know, Jesus, when he was with the disciples, we just celebrated Easter. He had risen from the dead on the third day. For 40 days, he was revealing himself as the resurrected Christ to his disciples and many other witnesses. Apostle Paul records 500 people knowing him. And when people are writing in the Bible about Jesus and the accounts of Jesus to the church, they're not just writing about, and they're not even probably realizing they're writing to our church today, but they're actually writing to the people of that time. So they're actually saying, like Paul says, like, there's still these, some of these witnesses are still alive, and you can ask them yourself. You know, Jesus, you know, what I love, it's not like you just have to take 12 disciples' word for it. There was hundreds of witnesses who witnessed the resurrected Christ. And so Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he's with them for 40 days, and then he ascends into heaven, and it says that he ascended up into heaven, and then he went into the cloud. Now, listen, it wasn't because it was a cloudy day outside. It wasn't the disciples like looking at him ascending to heaven and they're going, oh, would you look at that? It's cloudy today. What are the chances it's cloudy? No, it wasn't a weather pattern that they're talking about. It's talking about the Shekinah glory cloud. He went up into the cloud and took him into heaven. So we know in scripture that God the Father is seated, this isn't a trick question, is seated in heaven. We know that Jesus on the 40th day ascended into heaven, seated at his right side. And that the Holy Spirit has been poured out to us on Pentecost. Disciples were told to pray together in the upper room, Acts 1, and says that they prayed for 10 days till Pentecost. The Holy Spirit poured himself out on them and power came upon them. Jesus said, this is the promise. You pray, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So now the Holy Spirit is upon them and in them, because that's what the Holy Spirit's here for. The Apostle Paul says, do you not know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of God is living in you? So when we look at this verse, and Jesus says that he will send you another helper, that word, another, you have to understand, is not just like how we say it in English. In Greek, there's two different words for another. There's, and I told you I'm getting a little into the Greek here. If you can read that Greek word, kudos on you. It's all Greek to me. But, all right. That word is allos, and it means another of the same kind. It implies a helper who is similar to Jesus, one who's in the nature and function. This distinguishes it from heteros, which is another Greek word for another, which implies another of a different kind. Like, Emrys, give me those things. You're not officially a pastor until you have a prop. All right, in your sermon. So it's like Jesus saying, look, if I go, this is good for you because I will send another. He's not saying I will give you another kind of fruit. This would be heteros. It would be like, yeah, these are two fruits. This is the fruit you see, and you're going to get another fruit. No, Jesus is saying this. I'm going to go, and you're going to get another. The same kind and the same nature. Why? Because Jesus is, Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to us, and he resides in us. Look, we've all heard, if you've grown up in children's church, where does Jesus live? In your heart. And that's wonderful, and I love that. It's biblical. Well, how is that even like a thing? Because the Holy Spirit fulfills the message of Christ. When you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit of Christ, and the Holy Spirit always fulfills the message of Christ. So they all point to one another, and I'm not trying to get you confused where you have to pray, you know, and include the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, although you can. And I'm not saying that you have to say Holy Spirit in every prayer, although you can. But it is also very legal and biblical for you to say Holy Spirit would you help me this morning? Because he's with you. A lot of us, and especially in the world, when we think of God, we think of us on earth, and we think of God in heaven, and we think of our relationship with God like long-distance phone call. Or like we're sending him an email. Like he's getting it, but he's far away. Well, the reality is that's not true at all. Why? Because when God poured out the Holy Spirit, when the Father and Son poured out the Holy Spirit upon us, it became real, right with us. Now we have the Holy Spirit with us. There is no long-distance relationship. God is with us. This is good news. This is exciting news. And here's the thing. Yeah, I've done this where I'm like, man, I wish I could go back in time. I would ask Jesus all these questions. I would love to ask Jesus all these questions because then I could go back in time. I don't have to wait till I'm dead. If I was a time machine, where would you go back? I'd go back to when Jesus was alive on earth and I'd ask him all these questions. Oh, I can't wait. But here's the thing. You can ask Jesus any question, because the Holy Spirit is with you. He's with you. You don't have to pretend to have a time machine. You don't have to wait until you get into heaven. You can talk to God right now because he's not left us. He's not left us as orphans. It says that we are adopted and we have the Spirit of God with us. We will never be alone. All right. Okay. You guys okay? All right. All right. So that is the word for another. You see in the white verse there, I will give you another. Well, what about helper? This word helper is the Greek word parakletos, which is rich in meaning and is sometimes translated as, some of your Bibles say, comforter, counselor, advocate, or intercessor. The root Greek word combines the preposition para, meaning beside or alongside, and kaleo, meaning to call. Thus, parakletos can be understood as the one called alongside to help. Or another way you could say it is the one who comes alongside to give you exactly what you need. That is who the Holy Spirit is for you. He is the one who is right beside you to give you what you need and what you're lacking. So for those who need comfort, he's a comforter. For those who need counsel, he's a counselor. For those who need guidance, he's a guide. For those who need empowerment, he's an empowerer. You ever have compassion fatigue? You know what compassion fatigue is? Single mothers get this. People in the medical industry get this. It's where there's too many withdrawals and not enough deposits. Missionaries. Hey, Velta. And listen, in the natural, you can't survive on compassion fatigue too long. But the Holy Spirit is the greatest filler of every empty part of your life. He's the one. He's the one to give you everything you need in what you lack. This is not me saying it. It is Bible. All right. John 16:17, it says this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. How many know the Holy Spirit is our advantage according to Christ? Church, it's time we take advantage of our advantage. You know, as Christians, if we're walking around and we're like, man, you're focusing on all the wrong things going on in your life and feeling helpless. Don't feel helpless. Understand that you can turn your affection to the Lord and just be like, God, I need you in this moment and I know you're here and you can help me and you can guide me and you can fill me and you can lead me. The Holy Spirit does a lot for us. He sanctifies us. A lot of times Spirit-filled churches will get accused of, you know, the sanctification, you know, we Spirit-filled people always want all the fun and they don't, you know, do the nitty-gritty. I'm like, no, that's not true, first of all. And second of all, we do value sanctification. The Holy Spirit helps develop us and get rid of all the things that's not Christ-like, that fall short of the glory of God. And this is not done through our own strength. It is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've experienced this in my life. There's there's a difference between temptation and stronghold. Temptation is something that gives you a choice, whether you want to, you have free will. You go, you know, I don't want to do that, or I'll do that. And then there's something called a stronghold. A stronghold is built when you've done something so much, it is now has you instead of you having it. I've had strongholds in my life where it's like I'd have to fight and push every moment of every day not to give in. And if I did give, and if I didn't fight, I gave in. That's a stronghold. And I got radically saved. I'm loving Jesus, and I'm like, man, this issue in my life is still holding me down. And I see what you have in your word, God. I see what other Christians have gotten breakthrough in, and I want to press in. And Jesus says, knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and the door will be opened, and you will find, and you will receive. And so I believed what Jesus said, and so I started to do this. Jesus, I need you. God, I need you. I need your strength. I need to be set free from this. I no longer want to live a life bound. Now, I was on my bed a few weeks later, and I'm petitioning the Lord. I'm just saying a regular prayer. Oh God, would you protect my family? Would you provide for my family? I'm in my room by myself. And all of a sudden this power comes upon me, and it was like electricity. And I didn't know necessarily what was going on, but I knew God was touching me. And there was no fancy lights. There was nobody on the piano, no offense. And there was no smoke machine. It was just me and God. There was no frills to it. And God comes upon me, and I'm like crying because I feel God, and I know he's doing something, and I'm crying, and then I started to laugh, and I didn't know God could make you laugh. Now listen, you might think that's weird, but I remember my brother a few years ago. The number one manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the history of the church is tears. When the Holy Spirit moves, people cry. It's just based on research and studies, and that's very normative. You have the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You feel the compassion of Christ. You're so grateful. You cry. That's normal. It's awesome. But there are other ways that people express and the Holy Spirit does move in them. One of them is so much joy. I remember my brother, he told me when our sister-in-law, Karen, had laughed at church. He said, you know, Paul, one day Karen laughed at church. I said, Karen? You got to tell me this story. Now, if you don't know Karen, which you don't, because she hasn't been here yet, but she's like this tall. She's an introvert of introverts, and she won't talk to you unless you talk to her. She's sweet as pie, but come on. She's very introverted. I say, you got to tell me that story, because, you know, laughing, when I hear about people laughing at church, it can feel offensive. I said, Karen, laugh, tell me, what's that story? And he goes, well, they were living in the Bay Area at the time, and a guest minister came, and he said, if you want more of God, come forward. And a bunch of people got forward, and they got in the line, they assumed the position. And this minister came by, and he was saying, Phil, Phil, Phil. And people were falling down. He never found Phil, but I'm just kidding. That was just a joke. It's a little pastor humor there, okay? Saying, Phil, and they're falling over, and I'm like, yeah. And my brother said, and he got to Karen, and he prayed for her, and she fell down. And he was like, wow, God's touching my wife. This is amazing. He was actually like, he said, everyone went down except for me. I was just standing there. But he was so happy God was touching his wife. He said, and then she started crying. And he's like, oh, yeah, God, you're touching her. This is good. I'm so happy for my wife. This is great. He goes, and then after a few minutes, she starts laughing. And he's like, huh? And she's not just laughing. She's like belly laughing. And he's feeling embarrassed for her. And he's like, what is this? And people are getting up and get back to their seats. And Karen would not stop laughing. And so he's like helping her to the back of the church, into the car, driving home. She's still going at it. He puts her in bed. The next morning, he's eating breakfast. And she walks into the kitchen and she goes, man, last night was crazy. He goes, yeah, what happened? And she said, you know when that guy was looking for Phil? I said, yeah. Well, when he prayed for me, I felt the Holy Spirit. And I fell down. He goes, I saw that. She said, and then Jesus came to me. And he showed me a moment that my father and I had where I was really hurt. Jesus asked me to forgive my father in that moment. And so she did. She said, when I forgave him, and that was when she was crying, but when I forgave him, it was like a flood of joy filled my soul that I never knew I was missing. I never even knew I lacked in that area. And she said, I couldn't help but laugh. And when I heard that story, I said, okay, I guess God can make you laugh. But that's what happened to me in my bedroom later. I'm like, whoo, God, I don't know what you're doing. But I was laughing, and then I got up about 45 minutes later. And then weeks go by, and I realized something. What had happened in that room, that stronghold was broken. And it wasn't like I'd never been tempted, but now I could say, I don't want that. The Holy Spirit, who is with you in every area that you're lacking, he is right inside you, is here to help you become more like Christ. And he will not stop until you do. Because he loves you that much. Because he's that much of a gift from Christ. The Holy Spirit guides us. He leads us. He shows us. He says, hey, don't take that promotion. It might be, you know, really bad for you. Or he tells us, hey, apply for this job. Or he says, hey, spend more time with your kids. He's done that to me. Too blinded by it. And the Holy Spirit tells me, hey, you should spend more time with your kids. Be present. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just sanctify you, but he guides you. He teaches you. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring remembrance everything I said to you. The Holy Spirit fulfills the message of Christ, and he will teach you from the word and through the word. He doesn't create new doctrine. He never goes outside the character of what we read about in Scripture. But he will lead you and mold you into an awesome disciple of Jesus if you let him. If you stop ignoring him and start inviting him back in to the conversation of your life. I don't know how to say anymore how real God is. He's 100% real. We know this. We know that extra biblical texts outside the Bible, three different historians who talk about Christ, that that Jesus lived. He had a following in Israel. He was crucified and they found an empty tomb. We know Jesus lived, and I know firsthand he's my Savior and that the Holy Spirit is powerful to change your life as he did my life, but you have to let him. He empowers us. He brings you strength when you have no strength. He gives you the ability to overcome every obstacle that God calls you to with grace. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard, but he never leaves you. He will always give you that strength to do it. George Whitefield, a great evangelist, he had a revival in England and in the American colonies when we were during the colony time of America. And God was moving in everywhere he went. And he would go to churches, and he would find that the pastors weren't even saved. Being a pastor was like a good position in the village. And when you would ask anyone if they were a Christian, everyone thought they were Christians. And so he brought back John 3. He made it more famous again than, you know, obviously Jesus is the creator of that, where he says, are you born again? Leonard Ravenhill would say this, does Christ currently live inside you? Because sometimes when you ask someone if they're a Christian, they go, yeah, I'm a Christian culture. I grew up in a Christian home. No. Is the Holy Spirit alive inside you? Are you born again? George Whitefield has this quote. He says, the reason why congregations have been so dead is because they have dead men preaching to them. Wow. I didn't say that. Georgie said it. It wasn't me. Matthew 12, 31, 32. One of few very scary verses in the Bible for me. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, people will be forgiven of every sin and blasphemy. But blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in this age or in the age to come. Now, there's many different theologians who have different takes on what this might mean. I'm not even going to go there today. All I'm going to say is this. If Jesus Christ gives that much honor to the Holy Spirit, I want to honor Jesus and honor the Holy Spirit as well. This is how much weight Jesus put on the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more Jesus can do for you than he already has. We are as close to God as we want to be. He can't do anything more. He's done it all. He's paved the way, and it is now all on us. Will we surrender our lives fully to him? Will we allow him to guide us, sanctify us, teach us, flow through us? Look, I've prayed for people. I was in Mendocino, California, since Monday to Friday. I started teaching Tuesday. They had me preach 14 hours in that short time, teaching these young people who are going on missions. And so I spent time with them, and God moved, and it was amazing. But I could pray for 10 people. They could all fall over, shake, rattle, and roll. I have no idea if it's God or not. I hope it's God. I think it's God. But I don't know. I mean, some people say, yeah, Paul, you know, some people could be in the flesh here. I'm like, yeah, there's brokenness in people's lives. Maybe there's some people in the flesh. Or you say, well, some people, man, this might be demonic. You say, well, when Jesus entered the room, demons trembled. Probably right. But actually don't judge by what happens at the altar. You know how I judge? The fruit. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. If they get up, do they love more? Do they have more patience? Are they allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through their lives? Do they love Jesus more? Are they sharing the gospel more? Then when I see that, I go, man, what happened up here? That was God. You have to let the Holy Spirit move in a way that he wants to. And don't judge other people. I remember I was at one church when I was a traveling minister. When I first started out, I was standing at the front row, and there was a woman. She was flagging, not just one flag, double flag. And I'm looking at her, very visible, and I just said, man, why does she got to do that? God, can't she just go like this or like this or like this? Why does she have to be such a spectacle like that? And the pastor goes, you see that lady over there? I said, oh, yeah, can't miss her. He said, man, when we found her, she was selling her body to feed her family. She gives her life to Christ. We help her get a job to support her family. She's been on fire for Jesus ever since. And I said, oh, now I know why she praises Jesus the way she does. Don't worry about how other people worship. There's a leadership team here. We'll help make sure people are safe, make sure people are okay. But worry about how you worship. Not everyone has to dance, although dancing is okay. Not everyone has to lift their hands, although lifting hands are okay. You can actually be quiet, contemplative, singing the song or not. Your affections are toward God and you're praising him. That's okay, as long as it's a real worship to God. And I also want to say that we're called believers, not feelers. It is not in what we feel that we attain these things. It is through faith. Whether you feel the Holy Spirit is there or not, believe the word, believe what Jesus said. He is with you. If you've received Christ, he's with you. It's not by our feelings that we receive these things, but it's through our faith. However, we're made in God's image with emotions, with feelings. And so if you are feeling something, it's okay. Why don't you stand? I believe God has set us up to be filled and overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit by letting him be Lord, by letting the Lord be Lord of our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, flow through us. It comes through surrender. It comes through recognizing who He is. So let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill this room. Lord, you're omnipresent. You are everywhere. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And even though you're everywhere, there is freedom for those who make you Lord of their lives. That's where the Spirit of the Lord gives freedom. And so, Lord, I pray that you would set them free of anything they need to be freed from. The paraclete, that you would come alongside to give them what they need, that you would flow through them, that you would bless them, that you would empower them, that you would strengthen them, that they would have your peace upon them. Father, that there would be a fresh baptism of your Spirit upon their life. Now, if you want prayer for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit upon your life, I want to invite you forward. One thing I learned traveling with Randy Clark for many years is that the hungry get fed. God can touch you in your seat, but I've seen God move for people who are desperate for Him. If you're desperate for the Holy Spirit, if you're desperate to just have more of Him flowing through your life, come forward quickly. If you think you can do this on your own, it's the biggest lie of the devil. Even as a believer, he will try to tell you, oh, you'll be fine. Just do what you want to do. Do it on your own. Foolishness. We were never called to do this on our own.
Looking for physical healing. We have our...